I'm stretched out wide, barely hanging on to life, left to suffer on your own. You came for all mankind to bridge the great divide, and somehow ended up. I will never know that kind of loneliness. Your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear that burden on my own. You carried all the pain and buried all the shame when rugged tree watches come. Because of you, I'll never walk alone. You came here as a man, I know you understand what it's like to walk these
Epistle of 1 John. Chapter 1 has 10 verses in it. We're going to be reading all 10 of those verses. I want us to think about two things this morning as we look at some of these verses today. The first thing to look at is one of the things about the book of John is that it is about obedient love to God. And in particular this morning, I want us to look at the five ifs of salvation. So if you would stand with me together in honor of reading the Word of God today. As we look at the first epistle of John, we see that this entire epistle answers three questions about life. The first question that it answers is, what is God like? The second question is, how can I witness in the world and not become like the world? If we were to go through all five chapters, we would put the various parts of that answer to that question together. Then the third question is, how do I know that I am saved? That's In particular, is what we're going to look at here as we look at the latter part of this chapter, these verses here today. So we're talking about true believers. True believers have fellowship with God. True believers confess sin. And always with confession of sin, there is repentance of sin in life. Either that, it's an empty confession. But also true believers obey Christ. And that's a part of a loving obedience to Christ. And then true believers have fellowship with others. I want us to look, beginning this morning with verse 1. It is the Apostle John, and some of the most incredible truth that we can ever read is found here in this epistle, but especially in chapter 1 and these first three verses as well. And so we see that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now in that verse we see the truth has been declared. Truth has been stated. From the beginning, it's back to creation. From the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and the Gospel of John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. From the beginning, what does John say? He says, which we have heard. From the beginning, the one who was before the beginning, but since the beginning, the one that we have heard, the one that we have seen or looked upon, and the one that we have actually handled or touched. And then verse 2 is an explanation of this truth. Because the life was made known, it was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. That eternal life, which one? Which was with the Father and was manifested or made known unto us. So the life was manifested, it was seen, bear witness to it, it's shown, and is with the Father. And then verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that truth declared is what's been seen and heard, and now it's declared to others, and we see the purpose of this truth. And that is to declare the truth so that there might be fellowship both with God and with one another. And then beginning with verse 4 says, and these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me back up a second here. Beginning in verse 6, there are five ifs of our salvation. The five ifs of the saving grace of God. The five ifs. So let me begin with verse 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin, from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father, what a joy it is to be here together today in this place. We have gathered here today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of him and because of his suffering and his death for us, and because of your grace that you have put in our hearts and our lives through his substitutionary suffering and death, and by the power of his resurrection, we acknowledge today, Father, that you are the reason we're here. We pray now that your word, that we've read it, that you open up our eyes and open up our hearts. And Father, we just desire to know the truth. We desire to know your truth and your word. And so we pray that you'll glorify your name in and through us. But bless us as we look into your word today. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The purpose in the writing is found in verses 4 and 5. We read that, but let's look at it again. And these things write we unto you, so that your joy may be full. That is, he is writing to believers. And the purpose of John's writing to these Christians at large, He is to, so that their joy might be sure, that it might be full, it might be filled up. Because always in the life of a Christian, there's not things that work. There are times when we don't always feel the joy, and we don't feel the blessedness of knowing Him because of the burdens of life. It's not that it's gone away or that it's not there, but that you, we may know that our joy can be full because of what He has done for us. Then in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and we declare it unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So the purpose is that their joy might be full, but the truth is, and the central truth here is that God is light. God's message is given, as given by Christ, is the light of God. God's message is being declared, is being declared to others, as it was declared to us. The truth that God is light, God is the source of light, God is the one who created light. And as we saw earlier in the children's church time, God created light on the first day before He created the sun, moon, and stars, the other heavenly bodies that are out there. And so there is no darkness at all in God. And we see that that means that there is no sin at all in God. There is no imperfection at all in God. And that's what John here declares. Now, with that having been said, let's go now, beginning in verse 6, and look at the five ifs of our salvation. They're very important ifs, and so let's look at them, consider them one by one. The first one is found in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and continue to walk in darkness, then we lie, and we do not the truth, or we do not practice the truth. Now, the interesting thing about these five verses at the end of chapter 1 here in 1 John is the word if. Because in the original language, there are different ways to express if or conditions. And this is, in all five of these instances here, they're all the third class conditional if sentences. Now, let me give you a little bit of perspective by explaining the three classes. There's actually a fourth one, but it's very rarely used in the New Testament. A first-class conditional sentence in the Greek language, the New Testament Greek language, whatever it says, if such and such is true, then this out here is so. And that means it's determined, it's a fulfilled thing. It's something that's real. In a first-class condition sentence, here is the statement, and here is the truth, and you can take it to the bank. In modern words, we can say it like that. A second-class condition sentence is, here is the if statement out here, up front, but out there it may be determined as being fulfilled, or it may not be. It's just not certain. It just depends on what the context says and what the phrase itself says and what the sentence itself has in it. But the first one is definitely true. It's determined as something that is fulfilled in a conditional sentence there. And then the second one is determined as unfulfilled. But now we come to the third class condition, which is what these five sentences are. And it is the statement that is made, and then it's undetermined whether it is fulfilled or unfulfilled. But there's this one interesting aspect of it. It is, there is the prospect of it actually being a fulfilled condition. And that's what it is. So for you and me, as we come and look at these last five verses, it's kind of like a self-examination test. A test that you and I can give ourselves, where we can look at ourselves and look at our lives and measure by what it says and try to determine if it's something that's really fulfilled on us or if it's something that is yet unfulfilled. And for all the reasons that we will see here in just a moment. So here we come to this first statement, to give an examination of who we are or what we are, just to see if it's really real, if it's there. So it is claiming fellowship with God. Look at this again, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. Now the Him refers specifically to Christ, but to God the Father and Christ, essentially it does. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, then we're living a lie. That's what it's saying. We are living a lie, and we are not practicing the truth. The word do means to practice. So we're not practicing the truth. So if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we're not living the life, then we're living a lie. That's simply put. That's an if statement, an if sentence there. And it's a statement of truth by God through the Apostle John to the readers and the hearers that would receive it in that day. It's preserved for us through some 2,000 years so that you and I might have the same truth to measure ourselves with and our lives with. So verse 6 essentially is talking about a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so let's look at it again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but yet we walk in darkness, there's just something wrong. And it's talking about if we fellowship as a relationship. We know God. We commune with God. We fellowship with God. We live our lives with God. God bestows to us His blessings. God bestows to us His guidance. God bestows to us His grace and His mercy. And all the multitude of things that God does for you and me in our spiritual lives. And so he says here, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but yet we're walking in darkness, there's something wrong with this relationship. Because you see, fellowship with God does not involve or include darkness. So what characterizes your life? Ask yourself this question. What characterizes your life? Is it acts out of darkness, or is it from life? That was a wake-up call. Or is it the light of life? What is light? It is the likeness of God. It is holiness. It is righteousness. As we see here, it's the truth. Because if we do not have it, then we know that we are walking in darkness and the truth is not really inside of us. The truth is not permeating our heart, soul, mind, and life. And so what characterizes your life? Is your life characterized by works of darkness or works of light? Now remember, this is given by God and given through the Apostle John for the readers to determine where they really stand with God. And so if we say that we have fellowship with God, with Him, but yet our life does not show that, or our life does not demonstrate that, we can count on it. It's unfulfilled. It's determined. It's unfulfilled in our life. You may have prayed the prayer. You may have walked the aisle. You may have been in the water. You may have been voted on in a business meeting. But you are living a lie if you do not have this fellowship. And notice closely connected with this is the fact or the reality of that fellowship. And that is, there's no darkness in fellowship with God. So if the things that you're doing in your life come out of darkness, the ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil, which comes later in this epistle, that truth and that doctrinal teaching that's there. But if you have acts and works of darkness that are continually in your life, you struggle with those, you need to come and examine yourself to see if you have the real thing or if you're living the lie. And so this is that first class sentence there. You're not practicing the truth. You need to be honest with yourselves, the scriptures say. The truth is you're not practicing the truth. So that's the first if of the saving grace of God. The first if of salvation, that if we say that we have fellowship, but yet our lives are lived out in darkness, then we're just living a lie. That's the first if that's there. The second one is found in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, like He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and also the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from our sin. Now, this is the same type of sentence that's there. Here's the truth set forth at the first of the verse, the first of the sentence, and the prospect is undetermined, but yet here's the truth that's stated. The first one was a negative if. Now, the second one is the if of a reality, the if of truth. So, but if we walk in the light. In other words, if our lives are demonstrated and characterized by the continual walking, the continual ongoing fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ, If we are walking, and it's the word that means to be up and walking around and walking about. So if we are up as we live our lives, that we're wherever we're at, out walking and whatever we're doing with our lives, and it's ongoing, and just like God is light and we are living, and the way we're walking in this world is the way of light, then we can have the assurance that what we profess is really real and really genuine. He goes on to say, if that's true, if that's the way it is, then we have fellowship one with another. Brothers and sisters, we need one another. We need to have fellowship with each other. We need to strengthen one another. We need to encourage one another. When people are discouraged, when people have maybe fallen down, or when people have gotten far out, or there's something going on that there's bad things or negative things in their life, then the fellowship that we have with one another, because we have fellowship with God, allows us to go and to pour out of our lives into their life the light of God, the truth of God, and the power of God. And so this too speaks of a relationship, and it's an ongoing relationship with God. If we walk in the light, just like Christ is in the light, and the light of His Father, then we have fellowship with one another. And if we have fellowship with one another, notice the foundation of this fellowship. It'll be important as we go through these others as well. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So here John refers back to the reality of a relationship. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the whole scenario, the whole picture of the blood of Christ. And that is that God the Creator became a man. The God-man, Jesus Christ, living a sinless life and a perfect life, walked among men, as we read up here in these first three verses of this chapter. Then He went to the cross, and there being nailed to the cross and hanging on the cross there in the hours of darkness, He experienced the wrath of His Father. God, His Father, treated Him as sin, as murder, as adultery, as all the things, all the sins that come before us and that God brings to us in His Word. He became that for us, and God, His Father, poured out His wrath and punished Him as a substitute for us. And He died. They buried Him in a tomb, and 3 days later, He victoriously raised from the dead. And so John here is making reference to the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood, it's the suffering, it's the death, it's the separation from His Father, it's the wrath of God poured out upon Him, it's His burial, and it's His resurrection. The whole picture of atonement is there. And so it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that people are cleansed from their sins. Remember, what kind of a person is it that goes to heaven? Not the good person. That doesn't mean you get to go out and be bad. Don't misconstrue that. There's only one kind of person that goes to heaven. No one's good enough to attain there on their own. One kind of person only, and that's a forgiven person. People who have acknowledged their sin before God and their sinfulness and have come to Him seeking mercy and grace. And we'll see more about that here in the next ifs that are out here. So, walking in the light, it is a requirement of salvation to walk in light. I ask the question, ask yourself this question: are you walking in the light? Is your life characterized by the light of God being lived out in and through your life? Walking in the light with God makes it possible for us to have fellowship one with another. And it's all made possible through the blood of Christ. Here, look with me now at verse 8. The next is, if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, this if is a very important if. If we say that we have no sin, and here, John is talking about the principle of sin, not specific sins. He's going to take care of that in another verse on later here, but it is the principle of sin. And that is the acknowledgement of the principle of sin that will work in you and work in your life. For he says, if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. That we are not sinners by nature or sinners by guilt. There is the idea here is that if we say we have no personal guilt, yeah, I'm not the best of people, but you know, I'm not all that bad. Whatever we might do, whatever we might think, whatever we might say to justify ourselves, but we deny personal guilt and personal shame for sin that's in our lives. You see, when we are born into this world, we are born with a sin nature. You've heard me explain this before, but when children are growing up, do you have to teach them to do right or do you have to teach them to do wrong? We have to teach our children to do right because by nature, they will sin against God and they do not know God. They're separated from God. And so as a child grows, they've got to be nurtured. They've got to be taught. They've got to be led to the truth so that God might bring them His grace and His mercy. And so the principle of sin is that for those people who deny that I was born a sinner in this world, in this life, and one of the hardest things, and I can't explain it, it's greater than you and me and all of us put together, is that when we come to think about babies and children being sinners, that's kind of a hard thing to think of. You know why? Because seemingly they're innocent. That's only because they haven't matured enough to be able to practice what's in their heart. I'm not making a joke. That's just the truth. The nature of sin is against us. So when we're born into this world, when we're born into this life, we are separated from God. We are the enemy of God. The Bible uses the word enmity, which means an enemy of God. We are born into this world and into this life in that condition. And so John says, if we say that we have no sin, that sin doesn't really dwell in us, that sin doesn't really live in us, then this conditional sentence says, if we say that, then we've got a problem. He goes on to say, we deceive ourselves. You see, it's easy for people to say, when they come to church or children for Bible school and camps and things like this and youth events and then other events involving parents and grandparents, all adults and people of all ages. And it's easy for us to say that, well, I've heard this truth and yeah, I accept it and to varying degrees, but yeah, I've prayed this prayer. I prayed this prayer to have Jesus in my heart. It may have really happened. I don't know what all's going on. Only between you and God can you know that. But these are given so that you and I might examine ourselves and be honest with ourselves. And so if we say that we don't have this sin in us, then we've deceived ourselves. And then the truth then is not in us. And so we can say that we know Him. But you see, the attitude is, I really am not that bad of a person. And how do people justify themselves today? They justify themselves to say, but I'm not really a really bad person. And that may be true in the human sense, but in the spiritual sense with God, all are sinners. All fall short of the glory of God. And so the principle of sin is there, and the gospel teaches us and tells us and declares to us that we have to come clean with our hearts before God. We have to come clean before God and acknowledge to Him ourselves to be a sinner. We were born in sin. We've lived in sin until the moment we come to God and receive the forgiveness of our sins. And so we have this attitude that say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I believe I'll go to heaven. I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. These are some of the phrases that people use today. And the saving grace is not about believing in the existence of God. Well, that's primary. That's foundational. That's not the issue in salvation. The issue in salvation is to deal with the sinful nature, the heart of sin. And that's what John is addressing here. That's what God is addressing through John here to us. If we say that sin is not a part of us or really a part of us, and I'm not all that bad of a person or what all things, however we can come and express that, then he says that, that we have deceived ourselves and then the truth is really not abiding in us. And so many people can't get past that in their lives. Well, I'm basically a good person and I'm okay and I want to know God and I believe in Him and we have all these generalizations of life. But you see, this chapter and these verses are being specific and they're drawing us with truth to be specific with God and with ourselves. Do we walk with Him? Do we have fellowship with Him? Do we have fellowship one with another? Is there enough evidence to convict you in a court of law about your Christianity? As some have put it in decades past, preachers and evangelists and Christian workers used to say those types of things. So if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not his. Now look at verse 9. Here's a very familiar verse of scripture to us. It's very important. Here's the fourth one. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This conditional sentence is the if of fellowship. All of these verbs in this sentence, in verse 9, in this verse, are present tense. That means it's ongoing. So here's how it reads. A literal translation reads of verse 9. If we keep on confessing our sins, he keeps on being faithful and keeps on being just or right or righteous to keep on forgiving us of our sins and to keep on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So this is the if of Christian fellowship. Because when we have been born again, we've been forgiven of our sins, and we begin our walk with God, we do not walk in perfection. But we walk in the way of the world, hopefully not the way of the world, the way of the flesh, and certainly not by the way that Satan wants us to go there. But it's the if of Christian fellowship. That we keep our hearts right with God always. That we keep our hearts right with one another always. And so he says, if we confess our sins, if we keep on confessing our sins, it's important for you and I to continually confess our sins to God. Now, something that goes along with confession is that of repentance. What? It would be an empty confession of faith to God. God, I'm sorry for my sins. If there is no intent, if there is no desire in the heart to forsake that sin or forsake that temptation in our life, it's an empty confession that does not bother to change. And so it's with confession, it is the forsaking again of something that we might turn to him. And that's what the word repentance means. It means to agree with God and to confess the same thing as God says about our sin and to turn, change our mind and to turn off. Put away sin. Get it out of our lives. Forsake it utterly and totally and completely. So confession is a condition of forgiveness. Remember what Jesus said, if you do not forgive your brother of his sins, God will not forgive you of yours. What? I thought it was all free and I just get salvation. I can live my life however I want to. The condition of the forgiveness of sin, our forgiveness of our sins by God is conditioned upon our forgiveness of one another. I don't know how God handles that. It's a theological dilemma. But I know what the answer is. It's found right here. To confess our sins, to forsake them, because we know, as the rest of that verse says, that he is faithful. Jesus Christ is ongoingly faithful to forgive us of our sins, and he is right in doing so. He's just in the forgiveness of our sins. And he keeps on cleansing us. And that is, he keeps on giving us grace and strength and power to turn away from those things in this world, in this life, that oppose God, that are ashamed to us and are guilty, make us guilty before him. But we continually confess them with a heart of humility, with a heart of repentance, and a heart of confession. And we just keep on coming back to God. And we realize the grace of God more and more in our life. And the promise is that God will always forgive us. What does the Bible say? The mercies of the Lord are brand new every day. Then this last sentence of if. The last if of our great salvation is the if of denial. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned. And that is not the same principle that's mentioned up here earlier in that verse, but it is the sins that we may participate in our lives. If we say that we have sinned and the continually ongoing sin in our life, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's the if of denial. The denial of specific sins in our lives and the claim to kind of suggest that we are claiming that we're really perfect. But you see, we work these things out in our minds. Well, I've prayed the prayer. I've walked the aisle. I've stood before the church somewhere here or somewhere else. And I've gone through the waters. And now it doesn't make any difference. You see, that's another way of saying that we're not a sinner. It doesn't make any difference because I'm now on my way to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I have been forgiven of my sins. And if you've truly been forgiven of your sins, God is not going to let you rest and practice sin in your life. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 10. If we say that we do not practice sin and it's in our lives, and we make him a liar, and then his word is not in us. So here is the way of God. It makes God a liar. If we say that there's not any sin in us and in our lives, we're making God out to be a liar, because God has said that we are sinners by nature. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and then his word or his truth is not in us. You see, the truth, the word of God, is to be in us. It's to be in our minds, that it might be in our hearts, that it might transform our lives. And people try to imitate what they see other Christian people doing. That's how, after generations of that, we have some of the most unacceptable things that are accepted among in Christendom today. Because that's just the way it was done. That's the way I grew up in church, and that's back to the old religion thing. But here John is talking about a vital relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where you and I are to come and examine ourselves today. I want us to close our eyes and bow our heads.